Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is here. Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here this morning. Praise God.
Glory
to God. He's always good. Everything God does is good.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. He's good in the morning. He's good in the afternoon. He's good all night long. Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here this morning at Oasis to worship the Lord with us. This is Pastor Rock, and I'm Pastor Sharon. We want to thank you all for being here today. And if this is your first time, let's just give our visitors a hand clap of welcome this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
God.
Awesome preaching, Wanda. That was wonderful. Thank you. Amen. I just want to speak a word of blessing over you this morning before I turn it over to Pastor. So be ready to receive what God has for you today.
Amen.
I declare in the name of Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. I declare the favor of God surrounds you as a shield. You have the favor of God and the favor of man everywhere you go and everything you do. I declare you reign in life. You reign in life. You reign in life victoriously. You are more than a conqueror. You are the redeemed of the Lord. You are redeemed from sickness, disease, poverty, and lack in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I declare you are the anointed of God. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Yes.
I declare your household is blessed. I declare in the name of Jesus you are living under an open heaven. The blessings of the Lord make you rich today. Wealth and riches are in your house, and everything you put your hands to prospers in the name of Jesus. I declare the wealth of the wicked, the treasures of darkness and hidden riches and secret places comes to you.
Yes.
I declare you are a world overcomer, and the Lord always causes you to triumph in Jesus' name. Give him a hand clap.
Glory to God.
This morning.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Glory
God.
To God. At this time, I'll turn it over to Pastor.
Well, it is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to point at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. I want you to say, I came.
To receive.
God's good word.
God's good word.
This day. And I declare. I'm ready. Are you ready?
To receive.
God's good word.
This day.
And I declare. I'll never.
Be the same.
Again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over the rest of this service. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. We thank you for strong utterance and strong anointing, and that your people make a strong drawing on the anointing of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing what you want to do in this service. Help us to say what we should say in this service, the way that we should say it. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me illuminate the eyes of my understanding, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, that signs and wonders follow your word, and we are preaching and teaching your word, and we're expecting and believing to see signs and wonders follow this word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Ask, if you will, to get your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 40. Now, I'll tell you something I believe. I'm gonna just put something out there this morning. For the year, I believe we're going to see the glory of the Lord revealed this year a lot. Personally and for the church. I believe the glory of the Lord, that's going to be like a stamp this year. The glory of the Lord, that was the glory of the Lord. That was the glory of the Lord. That was the glory of the Lord. I mean, it's just going to be a continual thing. We're going to notice that this year. Isaiah 40 and 5 in the King James, it says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." In Isaiah 40, in verse number 4, and this is in the Expanded Bible, "Every valley will be raised up, elevated, and every mountain and hill will be made flat, level, or low. The rough ground will be made level or smoothed out, and the rugged ground will be made smooth into a plain. Then the glory of the Lord, His manifest presence, will be shown and revealed, and all people, flesh, shall see it together. The Lord Himself said these things, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, I had something a few weeks ago, and it just, I'd heard about it a long time ago, and I saw it on YouTube a long time ago, and I just couldn't get it out of my spirit, and I watched it. It's like a 15-minute thing. Y'all have heard of Pastor Keith Moore. And Pastor Keith was talking about something that happened several years ago. Said him and his mom and his dad were flying to a meeting that he's going to have in Florida. And he has a church in Florida now, but at that time he didn't. And he said he was surprised that his dad wanted to go to that meeting because he was going to be flying to it, and his dad has always been afraid of flying. And he said he never pushed his dad about that, but, you know, his dad wasn't somebody to ever give up on something. So, you know, he told him, he said, I want to go. And he said, you're sure? And he said, yeah, I want to go. And so, you know, he was determined to go. Well, Keith is flying the plane, and his mom and his dad are in the back or whatever. And while he's flying, when he gets almost there, his father passed away. And he can't go check on his father. He can't do anything to help his father at all. It just, you know, because he's got to fly the plane. So he finally gets the plane landed, and he said, you know, it took a while for the ambulance and everything to get there. And he said it really shocked him. He said he was just really, he said for 3 weeks, the word that he used, and I'm going to use his exact word, is he said he was vexed. He said for 3 weeks because he's thinking, well, Lord, did I miss you? Should I not let my dad go? Should we have not even done this at this time? Should we have done something else? Would he still be here? And he said all these thoughts are going back and forth and back and forth. And he said he had a rough 3 weeks. And he said then one morning he's waking up, and the next thing he knows, he's in heaven. Now, this is Brother Keith. And he said he's in heaven, and he's on some sort of machine. He's like riding through some area. He said, I'm going to describe the area to you as mall-like. He said, you know, in a mall, there's stuff going on in this part of the mall, stuff going on in this part of the mall, stuff going on in this part of the mall. He said, there's stuff going on everywhere. And he said, there's no roof on this building. And he said, and he's just going through it or whatever, and you see people everywhere, just all busy doing stuff. And he said, as he's going through it, he said, now this really happened to him. He said, this is not just a dream, but this is something that, you know, the Lord took him there. He said, then he sees his dad, you know, a little ways off. And so he starts running. He runs to his dad. His dad runs to him. And he just, Juan, come here for a second. I'm going to do it the way he said it. I never announced to Juan I'm going to use him. And I know he loves that. Juan, I'm going to... It was like this, he said. He said him and his dad, they were always had been real close. But he just seen his dad. You know, it's been, he died unexpectedly, and now he's seeing him in heaven. And he said, and they're just walking together, just like this. He said, they're just so happy, and they're just talking, and they're just walking, just connected the whole time that they're just walking through heaven. And he said, they got up to this one place, and there's a couple of guys, and the guy said, hey, Brother Keith. And he said, hey. And this other guy said, that's Brother Keith. And he said, hey. And he said, if it ain't quite, it ain't right. And Brother Keith said, they were repeating part of a sermon that he had preached on earth. He said, that did me so much good when I was on earth. I can't tell you how good it just blessed me and helped me so much. And, you know, they're just walking. Then Brother Keith and his dad are talking about the ministry. Because his dad had saw the ministry start in Branson. But he didn't know that, you know, what else was going to go on. But the Lord started showing him things that was going to happen. And they started talking about things that hadn't even happened in the ministry as if they'd already happened. And just thing after thing after thing. He said they didn't talk about one natural thing. It wasn't about houses. It wasn't about cars. It wasn't about, you know, anything else. It was just about what was going on for the Lord's work. And he said, and then he got to an end of it. He knew, you know, something. And he didn't want to leave him, but he got to the end of what they were saying, and then he turned, and his dad, he was gone. Thank you, Juan. And he was back on earth, back in his house. And he said, now, he was vexed. And, You know, but when he saw his dad, from the second he saw his dad, he never had any more grief. Nothing. It was completely removed. See, now that's what the glory of the Lord will do for us. It'll remove those things that we can't. We struggle to get rid of grief. We struggle to get rid of, you know, things that bother us and upset us. But the glory is what it's going to take a lot of times on certain things to get rid of it. And that glory did it in an instant. He said he's even tried. Is it even possible to get back over? He said it's not even possible to get back over there for him because it's just so peaceful to him on what he experienced. Jeremiah 30 and 17 says, I'll restore health unto thee, and I'll heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Now you might be praying about a hopeless looking situation today, or something that you feel is hopeless. The glory of God will be revealed in your situation. Now, I'm going to go on the same line for a second. Many years ago, me and Pastor Sharon, we lost a baby. It was before Benjamin was born. She was 6 months pregnant, and we lost that baby. And it really hurt. I mean, if you've lost a child, you know, like in that kind of situation, you know, it just rips your guts out, and you just can't. I mean, it just does something. A few months later, me and Pastor Sharon were in another meeting. And we were in this meeting, and there was this lady from Florida. And she's a prophetess. And we didn't know her. She didn't know us. She was from Florida. We just happened to be in the meeting. Well, she asked us if we'd stand up. We stood up. And I'm showing you how the Lord does things with His glory. We stood up, and she said, there's been some sort of problem with you guys having a child. She said, I know it's been a very bad situation. And she started saying some things, and as the Lord was leading her, and every word that she said was just, it was just helping. You know, when we give words to somebody, if you give a prophetic word to somebody, I mean, you need to have the goods when you do it. And it needs to help. Excuse me? Edification, comfort, and exhortation. It's going to help. It's going to build up. It's going to charge like a battery. Now, she's a prophet, and I understand in her situation, she can go further down. She can see in other realms. She can go in the future. In this case, she started prophesying further because she stands in the office of a prophet, not just somebody that can prophesy. And she started prophesying to us about the future, about God's going to give us another child. He's going to restore that which we had lost. And the next child would be, it would have twice the anointing. It would have a double anointing. He said the child will have a double anointing on him. And he said where the enemy came in, you know, he'll have a double anointing. Well, Benjamin, now, you know, just after that meeting, just a few days later, we found out Pastor Sharon was pregnant again. And matter of fact, one of the things that prophetess told us was that Benjamin's birth would be with much turmoil. There would be problems concerning his birth, but he would live and not die. And she told us this, not knowing that Pastor Sharon is pregnant. She's going straight by the Spirit of God. I've never had a chance to tell her. All these years, we don't know her or have any connections with her, but I'd love to tell her how accurate her word was. Benjamin was born. There was horrific, you know, things going on, but he did live and he did not die, and he does have a double portion of the anointing of God. I can guarantee you that. Now, but God did that. That was the glory of the Lord on that lady to minister to us in parts of us that the inside that was hurting so bad. He wanted us ministered to in saying things that would lift that grief off of us. Can you see that? And that's the way God is. That's His nature, is to lift things off of us, not to put things on us. Now, I'm gonna stay on this for another second, okay? Y'all keep drawing, and I'll keep giving it. Pastor Sharon had an uncle named Harold. Now, he was Margaret's brother. She was real close to Harold, and I liked Harold a lot. He was a good guy. I mean it. He was funny. He was down to earth, and he was nice. But everybody in the family, I mean, truthfully speaking, we all had doubts about Harold's salvation. He got on his deathbed, and there was this uncertainty because of his lifestyle. Is he going to go to hell, or is he going to go to heaven? I mean, you know, And because of his lifestyle. Everybody had been praying for him. Everybody loved him. But God's glory was revealed. Now I want to show you what the Lord did for us as a family. Several days before he went home to be with the Lord, which we found out, we didn't know at the time, he got completely out of it, and he started seeing people from the past. He started seeing relatives that had already gone on to the other side. And he's having conversations with relatives that are on the other side. Now, nobody in the room sees it, nobody hears it, but I'm telling you, the Lord did that for the family. He did this for several days. I mean, there was angels in the room, there was all kind of stuff going on, but this was for the family. I promise you, God was trying to reassure the family and say, everything's all right. He's cleared everything up. Everything's good now. Don't worry about Harold. Harold's good. Because, see, a lot of times as us, we carry that. Well, did they make it or did they not make it? I don't think they did. You know, we get that thought in our head, and it'll torment us. And the devil wants us tormented.
That's right.
He does that sometimes just to give us extra comfort, extra peace. He may give you a dream or a vision after a loved one dies to restore peace to you. There was a woman that I read about. This story has stuck out in my mind so many times. But her husband had passed away. And she'd been having a real rough time with it. And she was over into grief. And you know, you can get into grief, but you can get into a spirit of grief. And in the spirit of grief, you know, I understand there's a natural grieving process that everybody goes through. But in a spirit of grief, 2 years later, you're still going through it as if it happened yesterday. In a spirit of grief, you're being tormented in your mind and in your emotions all the time because of what, for whatever reason, but you've entered into something that the Lord doesn't want us in. And anyway, she was really upset about this situation with her husband. He was too young to die and all this kind of stuff. And then she had it was a dream or a vision, but she saw him, and he's on this like beach, and they love the beach. That was their thing. And it was a beautiful day, and she saw him, and he smiled at her, said it was the best, most peaceful smile a human being could ever smile. He is just so happy. And he's just sitting there on this beach, and he's listening to this music. And she said, he's got it made. And you know, she said, wait a minute, I recognize that music. She said, he used to listen to that at home. We used to listen to it. It was Handel's Messiah. And they're listening to this. He's listening to this Handel's Messiah. Then it backs off the scene that she saw. Now she sees a piano on the beach. And there's somebody playing the piano on the beach. And he's got his feet propped up, her husband. He's on the beach. And he's just enjoying this concert that he's listening to. Then it backs up one more step. And he's smiling his head off. And as it backs up that last step, it's Handel playing Handel's Messiah. It's the actual author of the thing. He's in heaven playing it for him. And you say, well, I just don't know. I'm telling you, in heaven, there's no limit of time. We're not bothered by time. We're going to be able to spend time with people we've never been able to spend time with. There are eternity. No stoppage of time. She said that grief lifted off her. She never had it again. She knew he was in a much better place. I would say it's a better place if you're listening to Handel on the beach. Playing his own thing. Now, in God's glory, sometimes he could tell you before a loved one dies to prepare you. Now, he always doesn't do that. I understand that. But sometimes he does. I know before my dad died, the Holy Spirit illuminated some scriptures to me to let me know he was fixing to go home with him. And I really didn't want to believe that he was fixing to go home, but I knew in my heart I was getting these scriptures, and I kept getting them, and I kept getting them. And I knew the Lord was trying to tell me, I'm going to have to take him. It's time for him to go. And I didn't want to give him up, but I knew that was it. And then just a few days later, he did take him. Now, sometimes he may tell your loved one. I know a lot of you know my mom. And you know, she passed away about 9 and a half, almost 10 years ago. And I remember my brother called me, Steve. And after the Sunday morning service, he called me and he said, Mom said We got the family here. Everybody's here. She said, get everybody around. She said, because this is it. I'm going home. And I was like, what? And she said, not to call you, because she knew you had church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And she didn't want us to disturb that. She wasn't saying she was going home that day, but she's fixing to go home. And she told them, anybody in the family that wants to see me or talk to me, you come on now, because you ain't going to have a time. You know, and she did. And the house was filled with people just coming in and seeing her. And okay, it was Sunday night. We went there, and I think Bonnie and Ish, and there's a couple of other people that used to go to the church here, and others. And I remember she's sitting at her coffee table, round table, her breakfast table, and she's laughing. She's talking. We're telling jokes and just cutting up, and we're just having the best old time in the whole world. Now, if you were looking at this in the natural, you'd say, she ain't fixing to go home to be with the Lord. But she ain't heard from the Lord. She just wanted everybody over to the house. What's going on? There ain't a chance she's fixing to go home to be with the Lord like this. And, you know, she had had psoriasis all her life. And the last few months of her life, she never had psoriasis anymore. They said that she was going to die from a brain tumor. Okay? And they said that's what would kill her. She did not die from a brain tumor. And she never had a headache, not one day in her whole life. Wow. Not one day. Wednesday, she went home to be with the Lord. Now, you can say what you want to. Some people get that. Some people, the Lord will do that. But He doesn't do it with all of us. He doesn't let us know on all cases, and sometimes it shocks us and throws us off, and we can't help that. That's just the way it goes sometimes. But sometimes His glory is revealed in that way, to let us know ahead of time. Now, I know a lot of people that don't live for the Lord. Let me say that, because there's a lot of people that listen on radio and stuff. There's a lot of people that don't live for the Lord. And they have this belief, this lie, that they believe, well, I'll know when I'm going to die and I'll make it right. Well, that's not true. Because you could be taken out in a car wreck, or you could be taken out in a heart attack, or you could be taken out an unexpected way that you had no idea that was going to come, and you weren't ready. And I'm talking about a glory that where people are prepared and stuff, but I'm telling you about people that are pretty much ready, and He'll do that. But, you know, people that are not, they're living their whole lives not ready, you better get ready. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We live in a time you can't take that. I mean, there's people listening to us on the radio that would say, well, I'll know when I'm going to die and I can get right then. No. You better not count on it, or you wind up in hell. I know that's hard, but it's true. Now, what have you lost? What has been stolen from you? God is trying to get you restored in every area all the time. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You might have lost your mind, and I mean that literally, on drugs or alcohol or whatever. I know one time, my dad, he went in the hospital, and he didn't know any of us. And he completely was out of his mind. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know my mom. He didn't know any of us. And the doctors came in, all these specialists or whatever, and they said, he'll never come out of the hospital. It'll never happen, ever. And we were all praying for him or whatever. 3 days later, they released him from the hospital with a sound mind. No problems whatsoever, no repercussions whatsoever, but all the experts says it can't happen. But the glory of God can make it happen. The glory, when God's glory is revealed, miracles happen. When God's glory is revealed, things that are impossible become possible. Isaiah 53:3-5 in the King James, it says, He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. See, we try to carry grief, but we can't, because He already carried it. Jesus already bore that grief. He carried that sorrow. He bore that grief, but we try to carry it, and that's where we get messed up. That's where we get messed up in our minds and our emotions. We have to give it to God. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's been through it. He has carried it. He felt it. He experienced it. And His glory will be revealed in our circumstances if we'll allow Him to. Now, I'm going to go back to my dad for a minute. My dad was what some people would have said was a hopeless alcoholic. His father died when he was 15, and his mother left him and went to New York to stay with her daughter, his sister. Well, she left him at 15 to fend for himself. She didn't give him any money. She didn't give him nothing. She just left him. Well, that had a bad, effect on my dad. And it was from that point on. I mean, he had to fend for himself, but it wounded him. He just lost his dad, and now his mother has left, and she was gone for a long time. And at that time, he started drinking. And, he got in the war and stuff, and it became a stronghold, the alcohol and stuff, and he became an alcoholic. Now, God's not saying if somebody's an alcoholic, that's a hopeless situation. God is saying, my glory will be revealed. My glory can be revealed in this situation and turn it completely around. Now, my dad and my mom, this is many years later, when I was about 15 years old, my dad and my mom were invited to a friend of my mom's, it was her church, the church she went to, her home church, and they went, and they both got born again. Well, my dad had been an alcoholic for 40 years, and he was delivered from alcohol just like that. The second he got born again, I mean, there wasn't a 12-step program for my dad. I'm not knocking the 12-step program because God can use that, and I'm not discounting that, but everybody doesn't have to have that. That's what I'm saying. One size does not fit all on how people are led, and that's I'm going back to that. People say, well, you've got to do it this way, you've got to do it this way. No, we've got to do it God's way. And God's way with my dad was, I'm going to deliver him just like that. Boom, the second hands are laid on him, he was delivered from alcohol. Well, he had smoked cigarettes for 35 or 40 years. He was smoking 3 packs a day. Boom, he's delivered from cigarettes. Same time, alcohol, cigarettes, my mom. At the same time, she went up with him. Same time, she was delivered from a cigarette. She'd smoked for over 30 years, and she smoked several packs a day. Boom, she's delivered. Next thing I know, I've told y'all before over and over, next thing I know, the lady that invited them to church, they're having home group meetings in our house. I'd wanted my dad to get, born again for all these years, and now I'm the fanatic in the house. They're the ones that, I mean, they're on fire for God, and I'm like, y'all went too far. This is a bunch of crazy people. We got all these ladies in our house having a prayer meeting. I can't even get in my room for all this prayer meeting going on. Lord have mercy. I mean, my dad was going to church every time the doors were open, him and my mom. But they both experienced God's glory. And I'm saying all this because the Spirit wants you to know God's glory can go and change any circumstance, any situation. I don't care how bad it looks. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God. And there again, I go back to that 12-step program. I understand there's a lot of people that are helped through those, and I'm not taking away from that at all. But sometimes with God, it's just one step. Boom. I want you to say this. God's glory is on my circumstances. Say, God's glory is on me. God's glory is on my house. God's glory is on our services. Start declaring the glory of God every day. Declare that you see it, and it will be revealed in your situation. Any tough problem that you're going up against right now, anything that you've been in prayer a lot about, say God's glory is going to be revealed in this situation. God's glory, every time it tries to speak to you, every time it says, no, it ain't happening, no, this is impossible, there's no way, this is hopeless, God's glory will be revealed in this situation. God's glory will be revealed in this situation. This is the year of the glory of the Lord being revealed. Isaiah 60, 1 and 2, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, There was a lady that used to go here years ago. And I'll show you about how the glory works. She come up for prayer. She's a nice lady. She came up for prayer and she had a lot of fear. So I prayed for her for fear. And then she'd come up in the next service and she'd want prayer for fear. So I prayed for her for fear. And this went on for months and months and months. She's coming up in every service and I'm praying for her about, you know, getting delivered from fear. And I bound everything I know to bound. I loosed everything I knew to loose. I did everything I knew to do. I mean, I did everything I seen everybody else do. I did not know. And my mom at that time was the head of the intercessor prayer group that we had at that time. And so I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn her over to my mom. So that's what I did. I said, we got somebody that needs prayer, and I think you'd be just the person for this. So she did the same thing that I did for months. And then mom turned them over to the different ones in the intercessory prayer group. And everybody in the intercessory prayer group had prayed for her. Mostly everybody that we could find out that could pray was already asked to pray for this lady. I'm serious. Well, we had a guest speaker. One time me and Pastor Sharon were out of town and we had invited a lady to come. And she'd been here before and we really liked her. I can't think of her name right this second. Teresa Moore. Yeah. And her thing was about fear. She had a strong message about fear because she was delivered from fear. Well, this lady came up and she had hands laid on her about fear. Now, we were gone when this happened. And she got completely delivered of it. Now, you know, we'd given her scriptures to quote, and we'd laid hands on her until you couldn't lay hands on her anymore. And she tells me after this meeting, you know, she says, well, I'm totally delivered of fear. I said, that's great. And I'm not thinking there's anything different. I'm thinking, that's good. I know we're going to be praying for you again Sunday. You know, I mean, nothing. I mean, you know what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking. Oh, pastor of little faith. And then y'all have to pump my faith up sometimes. And then a few days later, she hadn't been up for anything like that. And then she said, I'm going to go see my daughter. And I said, really? I said, doesn't your daughter live out of state? And she wouldn't dare go out of state. She wouldn't. There's no way she's going to travel. And she said, yeah. I said, how are you going to get there? And I mean, I did ask this honest question. She said, I'm going to take the bus. I said, the bus? Like Greyhound, like the bus? I said, you going across the country in a bus? She said, yeah. I said, who's going with you? She said, I'm going to go by myself. I ain't delivered that much. I mean, I'm going to be prayed up if I'm going to go on a bus by myself across the country. You understand? And I'm like, well, all right. And she did. And she came back, taught us what a great time she had. And she was not afraid at all. The glory of the Lord went in that situation and totally changed it. Totally changed her. Say, the glory of the Lord is here. Say, the glory of the Lord is on my finances. The glory of the Lord is on my job. The glory of the Lord is on my family. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ask Pastor Sharon if she'd come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God.